Welcome to Island Baptist Church. Today's sermon is entitled, Minding.
So today's message is entitled, Minding. When you think of that, what do you think about? Minding what? What does that word bring to mind to you? You have to be loud. Nobody thinks of anything. Be careful, okay. Obeying.
Behaving.
Good. I think of minding my own business is one of the things that, one of the first things that come to my mind. And then I have another phrase that I just want to know if you know this phrase, minding the farm. How many of you guys ever heard that phrase? I'm just minding, okay, just a few of us, all right. So anyway, today we're going to talk about minding your life and what that looks like and what that means. And to get things started, I just want to know how many of you really would like or do enjoy, either one, having an abundant, full, and peace-filled life. How many of you like that or would like to have that? All right, so I just want to make sure I'm not selling you something that you don't think you need or that you don't want. I'm not that kind of guy. But we're gonna look at what the Scriptures say about these things and how minding the store, minding ourselves, and minding our lives affect that. And I got to get the technology up to speed here. That's me kiteboarding. Actually, I'm not on the screen even. Let me find out what happened here. Watch, magically this is going to appear. Just a second. There we go. And the computer fell asleep during the music time. Most people fall asleep during the preaching time. God tells us this, Jesus tells us this, that the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but Jesus says these words, I have come that they may have life, and they may have life to its fullest. So God says that, Jesus said, that's why I came, so that you can have a full life, and that's not in the next life, although that will happen. That is here and now. And then in Philippians it says this, do not be anxious about anything. And let me tell you this. In preparing this sermon and having this week, I didn't do this very well. All right, all the stuff I'm going to teach you today is stuff I know, but knowing it and doing it are two different things. And I didn't have the best week as far as in this being anxious thing. I don't know if I was anxious about preaching or just some other things going on, but it just I didn't all the things I'm going to teach you, I'm going to do better next week. Okay, just so you know. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it doesn't make any sense at all, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so the life and peace, abundant life and peace, is supposed to be the norm for Christians. It's supposed to be the norm for me as a pastor. It's for everybody who believes, that's supposed to be the norm. Unfortunately, in today's society and in our human sinfulness, what happens is that we can get far away from peace and we can get far away from abundant life. But that's what Jesus has for you and that's what Jesus has for me. Take your Bible, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at what I consider to be one of my life verses or life passages. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to be down in verse 5 a little bit later on. But before we get there, I want to... While you're turning to Romans chapter 8, the first verse in that chapter says this, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what we're about to read is for believers in Jesus Christ, for those who've come to know Him, for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus. And then skipping down to verse 5, we read this, and this will be the text for our message today. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Notice the last phrase there. It says, those who are controlled by the sinful nature, their own selfishness, they can't please God. And then we bump over here to Ephesians just real quickly. You were once in darkness, but you're now in the light. Find out what pleases the Lord and don't have anything to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Be careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise. Should be up there also, my typo there. So what we have here is kind of the million dollar filter, if you will. As I attempt to live my life for God, I ask the question over, does this please God? Kind of like the millionaires, people who are getting millionaires, they have something they filter it through. Is this going to make me a millionaire? And if so, they do it. And if not, they don't. And they don't care who they hurt or what other rules. Not all millionaires are like that, and you know what I'm saying. But there's a set of rules that come in play. And for the Christian, we need to say, what pleases God? What pleases God? So our minding our business or minding the things of our lives means that we have to be aware of what's going on in our life. We need to be completely immersed in who Jesus is, and we need to be completely controlled by Him because He lives in us. So I want us to walk through the process of our lives. If we break down our lives, when I'm in a counseling session or just dealing in discipleship teaching, people tell me things and I basically put them in one of these three categories. And then I start trying to find Bible answers for what they got going on. And so it kind of works like this. We're going to find it back in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. I want you to notice that in the Greek, none of this was highlighted. There was no yellow ink in the Greek. But for the case of our illustration here, I've highlighted some of the words from that passage. Those who live according to the sinful nature. So the word live, in other translations, says who walk. That those are our deeds. Those are our behaviors, our actions. The things that we say, the words that we say and the things that we do. So those who live according to sinful nature have their minds. So there's our thoughts. Now, there's a big difference between the brain and the mind. The brain is the thing that shoots electrons and is called gray matter, and we don't really know exactly how it works. But the mind is who you are. It's your living, thinking, aware being. But the mind set on what that nature desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And the mind of the sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So what we find here in this passage is we find your life is summed up in these things. It's what you think, it's what you do, it's what you feel. And outside this bubble, life can be good, life can be bad, things can be happening, and you could have a peaceful, joyful, full life in the middle of storms, and you can have a peaceful life going on out there, and you can be miserable here in your life based on what you do here and what you do over here. So what I want to give to you today is the opportunity to have that better life. We sang about it, right? There's a better life. It's walking with Jesus. It's letting Him control you. It's immersing yourself in Him. But you don't get better in broad terms. So somebody comes in and says, man, I just want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I'm going to love my wife better. And then I'm going to go, okay. And they come back the next week and I'm going to say, did you love your wife better? Sure. How do you know unless you break it down a little bit further, all right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break some things down for you. But before I do, I want to talk about guitar playing. You know, we have a fantastic guitar player, Billy Stahl. You know Billy? You know, he's amazing. He's amazing. And if you look at his resume, I'm just making this up as I go, Billy. So, okay. So, and I didn't get permission either, so we're really good friends. It's all good. So on his resume, it's all good stuff. He does. It says guitar player. Okay, that's a skill, right? Well, no. Well, yeah. He's a very skillful guitar player, but guitar playing is not a skill. It is a set of skills. And so from what little I know from guitar playing, there's stuff that happens with the right hand. And each one of these is a skill that put together make up guitar playing. So the firmness that you hold the pick makes a difference. You can squeeze it too hard. You can let it go too loose. You can let it stick out too far. You can put it in just the right spot. So that's actually a skill you have to learn, to how to hold the pick. The angle of the pick, the way your wrist the angle of your wrist in conjunction with your elbow and your shoulder, how much you move each of them when you're playing, depending on what you're playing. There's string awareness. You have to know if you're, am I hitting all six strings? Am I just hitting one or two strings? There's using the palm to make sure other notes don't come out that you don't want to hear, to deaden them. You do the same thing with extra fingers sometimes to make sure noises don't come out that you don't want. How far is your hand from the end of the strings? Do I pluck or only strike one? What kind of pattern am I using? What kind of, am I doing a down, up, down pattern or a down, down, down? Each of these are skills that you learn as you go along. What about the volume and tone? And then there's the incredible, all the turning of knobs to hear it to make it just right. And all that happens with the right hand, all the while the left hand, you have to be concerned about the fingertip angle. You have to know how to hammer on and pull off, which that doesn't mean anything to you, but it does to people who play guitars, and you hear the difference when people don't do those things. They're skills. You have to know your major scales, your minor scales, and your pentatonic scales. You have to know the positions of your chords. You have to know chords. You have to know how to spell those chords so that you can find those notes. You have to know how to roll your finger from one string to another to make it smooth and not sound like it's like when I play those lead things like Billy does. He keeps them smooth. There's strength and there's the stretch of your fingers and there's accuracy. And each one of these things when you're playing guitar is just like, I play guitar. But there's 40 or 50 actual skill sets and to be aware of each of those that all go on at the same time is why we don't have a whole lot of great guitar players like Billy, because it just takes a lot of work. But being a better Christian, having a better life, it gets broken down into the small things also. And a good musician serves the song. You don't play with just what you feel like playing. You feel like you play what the song needs. You play what the crowd needs. You play like what you feel like the Lord needs. And you are subservient to the music. You're subservient to the bigger picture. And that's the way our lives in Christ should be. That we're becoming more and more skillful in the way we think and the things that we do. In Ephesians it says we're to live as children of light. We've already seen this passage. Find out what pleases the Lord. And so we have these thoughts and we have these feelings and we have these actions, but they can't coexist at the same time. You can't think really negative thoughts, just horrible thoughts about somebody, and think about how wonderful somebody else is at the same time. You kind of have to do one or the other. And what happens is whatever you do here, it flows over here into how you feel. And then if you're a mature believer, perhaps you cannot say and do dumb things anyway. But it makes it really hard if you don't fix it on that end. And that's typically the progression. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about the progression. Is that anything can kick you off into a bad day if you're not careful. So you could have, say, the smell of popcorn. Okay, that the smell of popcorn, you might start with, you smell something, all of a sudden you immediately have this great feeling. You remember times at home when your mom made popcorn balls or something of that nature. And then perhaps if it was my youngest daughter, if she smelled popcorn, she would run because she's allergic to popcorn, and it would bring up negative thoughts. Or somebody might have a picture of the beach, and they think, oh man, that just brings good vibes and good feelings. Another person might be bitter and angry because they have to go home this week. Been known to happen. A little bitterness, a little anger. So it doesn't always flow this way, but typically what happens in our day is that we think a thought, we build some kind of fire, whether it's good or bad, and it comes out of our mouths, it comes out of our lives. And as much as I've prepared this all week, and I struggled all week, like I said, just with different little things in my own mind, I woke up this morning, and the very first thing I thought was a negative thought. I was like, really? I've been studying this all week. I've been trying to apply this all week to my life. And the first thing I do is like, I think a negative thought. And it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're not living the abundant life. And so I did what I'm trying to teach you to do, is to push that off and say, no, God, forgive me. Don't let that thought control me. So minding our business, minding our lives means that we have to work on the specific areas. We're going to spend most of our time over here, but before we do, we want to start on this edge over here. The scriptures tell us in Proverbs that even a child is known by his actions, whether his conduct is pure and right. So if you've been a believer very long, or you just know common decency, there's a lot of things you know just aren't right. We've sang about it, right? We've all done things that we know they just ain't right. And we know they're against God, and we can repent, and we can stop doing those things So our conscience tells us that also. But also, here's another passage that ties the two together. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, you did the things that you know you shouldn't do, and then therefore, because you made that choice, you basically said no to God, and you became an enemy of God. And so we need to work on our actions, but I'm telling you that if we work on these other parts more, that we won't have as many opportunities to do the wrong thing because we'll be fixing it earlier in the process. There was a guy in one of our churches that we served before, and he came to every business meeting, and he was an angry fellow. And he was not a nice person. And he came to every business meeting that we had. And maybe it wasn't every meeting, but it sure seemed that way. That every meeting he had something negative to say about someone in the crowd, something that was going on, and had bursts of anger on a regular basis. This person came to me, and after a number of times, I had numerous people come and said, "We're not going to business meetings anymore. It's just not worth going. You know, I value my sanity. I value my spiritual peace. I would just not come in." And so I get that. So I talked to the guy one night after one of the outbursts and said, "Man, do you realize how much you hurt people when you do that?" He says, "Oh, they know who I am. They know how I am." He said, "They get over it." He said, I get it out. I feel better, and they get over it. The fact of the matter is, they don't. They don't. And the word you don't speak never has to be taken back. And the deed that's never done never has to be apologized for. But this guy did this over and over again, and I wish I'd have known this little phrase back then. I would have shared it with him. It says, "The tree remembers what the axe forgets." And so this guy had something going on in his mind, I don't know, but he had this anger that came out, and as far as he's concerned, it's over, it's done. But as far as everybody else is concerned, the light of Jesus wasn't really shining during those moments. And people shy away, and you lose opportunities when we don't control our actions, and thus we have to take it back and control our feelings. And so as we read, what happens is you can't control your feelings directly. I'm not going to be mad. You can't do that. So the Bible doesn't say a lot about what your feelings are. It just says if we think right and we do right, that we will feel right. So let's get to the thoughts. In Philippians chapter 2, it tells us this, that your attitude, my attitude, the way we think should be the same as the way that Jesus Christ thinks. And then in Romans 13 it says, "Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus and do not even think about how to gratify that sinful nature, the sinful part, the selfish part of your life. Don't even do that." Proverbs 4 says, "Above all else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life." How do things get stuck in your heart? Through your mind or through your eyes. The things you look at, the things you think about. And then it says this, "The good man brings up good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man, the things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." So what you fill your mind up with, fill your heart up with, is going to come out of your mouth. And we want those to be, encouraging things. So we're not at the end yet, but the takeaway is that we need to learn to control our thoughts. And Paul said this. He said, where's it coming? There we go, a little slow. Paul said, "We demolish the arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So we're going to demolish these worldly arguments, these worldly philosophies that keep trying to feed our minds and feed our brains. He says, we're going to take each and every one thought, and we're going to make it captive and say, "Does this agree with what God says?" And make it obedient to Christ. Either say that's a good thought, or no, that doesn't line up. And then that's when the fire comes down, the fire of discontent comes down as you learn to think the way that God wants you to think. The fires of peace, the fires of joy burn, and they keep you warm. And they keep you encouraged. The problem for me is that this take every thought captive thing is like a full-time job. It's like the 100 ways to mess up playing guitar, right? And I know how to mess them all up. I know how to mess up all the mind stuff. I did a good job this week messing up some of those. So how do we do it? How do we take every thought captive? We have to do it one at a time. But sometimes I feel like this. I feel like this guy. Anybody ever play whack-a-mole at the arcade? I mean, the real whack-a-mole. I mean, in my youth ministry days, I was killer at this. I would outscore all the kids, and like this girl here and this next guy coming up is like, he's like a beast at whack-a-mole. He's like, just look at him. That was me in my prime. And in my thought life, that's kind of what we need to do. It's kind of thoughts pop up. We need to whack them down. And sometimes I do good like that. So I have good weeks, and then sometimes I'm like this kid. There it is. Oh no. Can you relate? I mean, some days it's good. Some days it's not so good. We just end up playing whack-a-mole with our thoughts. And we find ourselves losing out to the ways of the world. Jesus said we're supposed to be in the world, but not of this world. And my thoughts can get so selfish, so very selfish, so very fast. And I need to repent for each and every one that takes the place of a godly thought, and I need to fix it and make it right. And I may tell you this, that whenever I'm feeling down and low and discouraged, the thing that helps me most is turning on the news and social media. Because that really helps me tame my mind. Yeah, you know where I'm coming from, right? There's so many things that vie for your mark, so many moles. And by the way, we want to keep whacking moles. We don't want to get used to large rodents living in our house, okay? Keep whacking those thoughts. These thoughts of I can live a novel person's life, or thoughts of my business, or I love mystery, or the business, or justice, or beauty, or popularity, or politics, or food, or self-improvement, music, technology, fashion, shoes, destination, fear of missing out. All these kind of different thoughts can pop into our heads, and we can find that they take over the positive thought of serving God. One of the commentators, name is Alinsky, said this: minding regulates our walking. Minding regulates our walking. What we think regulates what we do. And I want you to think, I just had like every moment of every, this past week was horrible for me, because it wasn't that at all. We had, my wife and I went to San Antonio. We saw my favorite band. She bought me tickets for Christmas. And we were this far away from the stage, and it was awesome. There were many wonderful things that happened. And in the process of being struggling with some of these personal things, these negative thoughts in my mind, it's not like it ruined my life. It's not like I treated people poorly, but it did rob me of some joy I could have had. And one of their songs is called Voices, and here's some lyrics from that song. Pretty introspective, and it hit home pretty hard. How come the friends and the foes invisible are the ones that make my soul most miserable? My head's reeling from the feeling in my mind, but I feel it in the physical. And why is the sunlight hiding? They ain't letting any light in. It's the storm that I've been fighting. And this chorus might not make much sense to you until I explain it, but he says, I used to listen to the radio. You remember listening to the radio, and that was like the best thing ever? It's just like, it calmed your mind. It's like, oh. But now I've got an army of voices in my head. I got an army of voices in my head. I used to live in stereo, in harmony together, left and right, all coming together. We used to live in stereo, but I've got an army of voices in my head. And they all want to say something to me. And then the bridge says this: every moment crowded with choices. And he turns to God and he says, speak to me and drown out these voices. We need to have some time where we can be still and know God is God. We need to have some time where we clear our heads, we clear our minds. And that only happens when we walk away. I know, I hear that terminology, I'm not really sure, I'm not trying to be political or anything else, but the whole walk away stuff, people are walking away from everything. Walk away from Little Debbie's. And there's my advice. Well, you can walk away from anything, you know, and it comes a matter of thinking about it. And I think of Dr. Seuss, one of my favorite books by him. Oh, the things you can think, if only you try. You can think left, you can think right, you can think low, you can think high, you can think anything you want to think. You can be creative is what he's saying. But God says, I want you to think the way that I think about things, and then you will have the life and peace that you're supposed to have. It's a natural byproduct. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, and whatever is pure and lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. You can control your thoughts. You can do like Paul. You can take every thought captive. We read this passage earlier, but I want to hit the highlights again. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin, whether you sin with your body or in your mouth, or whether you sin with your mind. But if the Son sets you free, you can be free. Indeed, we can walk away, and the scriptural word for walk away is repent. I'm going this way. I agree with God. That's wrong. And I say, I'm done with that. The army of voices, I will not listen to them anymore. And I will calm myself. And I will, with the help of God, find His peace. Another song that my favorite band, Switchfoot, sings is this. It says, welcome to the fallout. Welcome to resistance. That's us. We are resisting the ways of the world. But the tension is here. It's between who you are and who you could be. It's between how it is and how it should be. So I dare you to move like today never happened. This past week, I asked God to forgive me for those times when my anxiety and different things got the best of me. And now we have to do like what Paul says, and I says, I forget the past and I walk away. And how do we walk away? I got a little video that I want to show you here from our good theologian friend Winnie the Pooh, who has a new movie coming out, I think, unless this is a really old trailer. But anyway, let's listen to what Winnie the Pooh might tell us. We have to start it over and turn the volume on that thing. Because I want to hear it in Pooh's voice. One more time. I always get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. Pretty good advice, right? And so, are you having life and peace? Huh? You probably are to some degree. But you can identify, we can learn to identify some thoughts that rock our world, and we can experience more, and we can be more effective in our ministry for Christ. I want to leave you with one last scripture before we close out and have our time of invitation. Psalm 103 says this, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. Another translation says it this way, I will not set any worthless thing before my mind. So many times we just get tied up into things that don't matter. They don't matter at all, but we get all balled up inside of them. We have this anxiety, and we can push those things away and walk away from the things of the world and walk toward the Savior who's waiting for you and for me, always with open arms. Would you bow and pray with me? God, as we come to this time of invitation, we pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds to what you have. Lord, we've all got voices in our heads that want to draw us away, that want to keep us distracted, that want to rob us of joy and peace. So I pray in these moments here, Lord, that you will speak to each and every one of us. As we hear you, we'll be able to say yes to what you have.
And God, you'll fill this place and fill our hearts. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptist.org.